Well, hey, church family, and welcome to Church Online again. Can you believe it? 2 weeks in a row. Thank you so much for being patient, being flexible, and giving us a whole lot of grace as we just navigate the weather. But as we said last week, church isn't just where we meet. It's that we do gather together in some form or fashion, whether it's online or in person, to praise God, to worship Him, to open His Word, and we get to do that together today. So, as you find yourself at home, hopefully you are enjoying your snow day in some form or fashion, and we'd love to hear all about it. If you post how you're enjoying the snow online on social media, be sure to tag us at Local Church Dawson. We'd love to see how you and your family are making the most of this weekend's weather. Well, if you've been with us over the last several weeks, we've been diving into Genesis, specifically Genesis chapters 1 and 2, and we will finish Genesis 1, 2, and then get to 3 here in a few weeks. But I want to read Genesis chapter 2, verses 1 through 3, and that'll set up where we're going this morning. So the creation of the heavens and the earth and everything in them was complete. Chapter 2, verse 2. On the seventh day, God had finished His work of creation, so He, and here's our key word for today, rested. He rested from all of His work. Verse 3, and God blessed the seventh day and declared it holy, because it was the day when He rested from all of His work of creation. We saw it used twice here in just the first few verses of chapter 2 that God rested. That Hebrew word, remember, we're learning all kinds of Hebrew words as we go through our study in Genesis. The Hebrew word here for rested is the word Shabbat. Now, you might not be familiar with the Hebrew word Shabbat, but I bet you've heard the word Sabbath. Sabbath is how we would translate that word Shabbat. Literally, Sabbath or Shabbat translates to stop, to cease, or that we might even use it to rest. So when we talk about a Sabbath day, this seventh day or this day of rest, it's really a day where we stop. We just talked about working a couple weeks ago, so here we are stopping our work in order to rest. Stopping one thing in order to do something else. See, a Sabbath day or the seventh day of rest is not just about not working. It's also about what we're then focused on, who we're focused on. And when we take that stopping, that day of stopping, it allows us to then focus more on God. John Mark Comer wrote this. He said, the Hebrew word Shabbat means to stop, but it can also be translated to delight. It has this dual idea of stopping and also enjoying God in our lives and enjoying God in this world. The Sabbath is an entire day set aside to follow God's example, to stop and delight. It's this idea of subtraction for addition. We subtract some things so that we can add other things. We stop doing certain things so that we can focus on more important things. So instead of just talking about Sabbath, about this seventh day of rest, why don't we practice it together? And what better day to practice it than me being at home, you being at home? And we sometimes have to be forced to stop some things in order to add and lean in to other things. So what does that look like? What does it look like to practice the Sabbath? A lot of great ways to practice the Sabbath. Again, it's not just what we stop doing, it's also how we enjoy God. So a lot of ways that we can enjoy the Sabbath day, and we're going to talk about those next week. But I want to focus on prayer. The idea of stopping certain things so that we can have time in prayer with God, our Heavenly Father, is a great way, not the only way, but is a great way to practice this seventh day of rest, this Sabbath day. So to help us walk through how to pray and what it looks like to spend time with God as we stop some things in order to add some other things through prayer, we're going to go to Matthew chapter 6. In Matthew chapter 6, Jesus is actually teaching us and teaching His disciples how to pray. I'm going to read through all of it. You might be familiar with this as it's known as the Lord's Prayer. Let me read through all of it. Then we're just going to go through verse by verse what it means to spend time with Him in prayer as we follow God's example in the creation account of resting and taking Sabbath. Matthew chapter 6, starting in verse 9, Jesus said, pray like this. Our Father in heaven, may your name be kept holy. May your kingdom come soon. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today the food we need. And forgive us our sins as we have forgiven those who sin against us. And don't let us yield to temptation, but rescue us from the evil one. Let's go back through verse by verse and just maybe think, pray, and reflect on how Jesus is teaching us to sit, be with, and spend time with the Lord. Jesus begins by teaching us to say, "Our Father in heaven." Notice the word Father there. We talked about this in Genesis, that we are created in the image of God. That image, meaning He's Father, we are children. So here in the Lord's Prayer, we recognize first and foremost who He is. He is our Father, which also tells us who we are, that we are His children. This prayer begins with an identity statement of who God is and who we are. It's relationship, it's intimacy, it's very personal that He is our Father. So that's where we begin. But then we move on to, may your name be kept holy. That idea of holiness is to be set apart. So we recognize Him for who He is, that He is Father, and then who are we? His children. But He is also set apart. There is no one like Him. So we could begin our time with God as we rest with Him and rest in Him. We could begin our time by recognizing that He is our Father who loves us. He is our Father who is gracious to us, and that there is no one like Him, no one more majesty than Him, no one that has as much power as Him. He is Creator. He is Father, and no one is like Him. One person said that we can run into the loving arms of our Father and kneel in awe of the Lord God Almighty. That is the essence of the first part. Our Father in heaven, may your name be kept holy. Verse 10, may your kingdom come soon. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Notice this is God's kingdom, not our kingdom. This is God's will, not our will. We are praying a prayer of surrender. So we recognize who He is, Father. We recognize that there is no one like Him. He's holy. But then we also surrender to Him. God, it's not about my kingdom. It's about your kingdom. It's not about what I'm building. It's what you desire to build. It's not what I want or what I desire. It's what you desire. It's your will be done. This is when we surrender to Him. Now, here's what's great is through God's word, we're told what His kingdom is like. Through His word, we're told what His will is, what He desires. So as we live our lives according to His word, His will, His ways, we get to be part of showing this entire world, showing the world who God is. Not just who God is, but His kingdom and His will. When we live according to Him, we get to show the world His kingdom come. Verse 11, give us today the food we need. We have needs. We recognize we have needs, basic needs, physical needs, real needs. We have limitations. We were not created to live without Him. We were created with needs to go to Him. And so He is our Father that loves us. He is our Father that provides for us. And so we go to Him with all of our needs. Now we go to Him with our needs, not because He's surprised by our needs. Instead, we go to Him because we love Him. We go to Him because we run to our Father. It's a reminder, yes, that we need Him. It's also a reminder of the relationship we have with Him, that we trust Him and love Him. As a dad, I love when my kids come to me. I want them to come to me when they need something. I don't want them to go and try to figure it out on their own all the time. I want them to love coming to me, to trust me enough to come to me. So when we come to our Heavenly Father with our needs, it's an act of trust. Remember, we've already surrendered. His will be done. His kingdom come. Now we trust Him by coming to Him with all of our needs. Verse 12, and forgive us our sins as we have forgiven those who sin against us. This is two parts. The first part is a confession of our own sin. And then the second part is an acting on the grace that we've been given. So forgive us our sins. We all fall short of the glory of God. We all have sin and are in need of forgiveness. And when we come to Him, not just with our needs, but also with our sins, seeking forgiveness, we do not find shame and we do not find condemnation. What we find is peace and grace and love and freedom through His forgiveness. Sometimes we feel like when we confess to the Lord, it'll bring condemnation. But the opposite is true. When we confess to the Lord, we are given freedom and forgiveness from our sins. And because of that freedom, we now live totally differently. because of the freedom we have in Christ and the forgiveness and grace that we've been given because of Jesus' sacrifice on the cross, we now have the freedom to forgive others. We have the freedom to now give that grace that we first received. But the order is important. We cannot forgive if we have first not been forgiven. We give the grace that we first have been graciously given. So yes, we receive forgiveness. And now we have the freedom from our sins, and we also have the freedom to give grace and the freedom to forgive others. Lastly, in verse 13, and don't let us yield to temptation, but rescue us from the evil one. What did we just say a moment ago? That we have all fallen short? Romans speaks to that. Romans chapter 3, starting in verse 23. For everyone has sinned. We all fall short of God's glorious standards. Yet God, in his grace, freely makes us right in his sight. He did this through Christ Jesus when he freed us from the penalty for our sins. For God presented Jesus as the sacrifice for sin. People are made right with God. Not when we work for it, not when we earn it, not when we try to deserve it. Look at this. People are made right with God when they believe that Jesus sacrificed his life, shedding his blood. It's only through faith, it's only through belief in Jesus and in his sacrifice that truly rescues us. And that's that big part of the prayer. Let us not yield to temptation, but rescue us. We come to God, our Heavenly Father, because we surrender to him, because we need him and we trust him, because we need forgiveness and we seek freedom and peace, but also because we need a Savior. We need him to rescue us and save us. So on this Sabbath day, when we stop, and sometimes we are forced to stop even more than we want, like today as an example. So on this seventh day of rest, as we practice Sabbath, as we practice subtracting some things in our life in order to add and focus on more important things, may we first and foremost recognize our need for a Savior, our need for him to rescue us from the evil one. So I would encourage you at some point today, just like we walked through the Lord's Prayer together, I would encourage you to remove some things out of your day today so that you could spend a quiet moment with the Lord, just you and him. Read through, pray through the Lord's Prayer. Our Father in heaven, may your name be kept holy. May your kingdom come soon and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today the food we need and forgive us our sins as we have forgiven those who sin against us. And don't let us yield to temptation, but rescue us from the evil one. May we stop some things in order to be with who is most important. Another person wrote this. They said, prayer is more about being with God than getting something from God. I would pray that for you today, that as you spend some time personally in prayer, that you would find satisfaction and fulfillment in spending time with him. Draw close to him, and he will draw near to you. I hope you have a wonderful rest of your day. I'm going to pray for us, and after I pray for us, I'd encourage you again, go off by yourself, spend some time with the Lord to be with him, and God willing, and weather willing, we will be back together in person next Sunday, 8:15, 9:45 a.m., and 11:15 at Local Church Dawson. Let me pray for you, and then we hope to see you very soon. God, thank you so much for this time that we set aside, when we put everything else aside to hear from you, to pray to you, to be with you. So God, as we stop some things today so that we can add some time with you today, may you bless that time. Would you fill us with your Spirit? Would you help us get rid of all the other distractions so that we could be focused on you? God, I just pray for our church family as we are apart from one another over these last 2 weeks. God, would you bring us together this next week? We value the gathering. We value this community that you have given us. We value worshiping together and being together. But even when we're apart, we know that you are still glorified and honored. So may you be honored and glorified in all that we do. And may you bless the time that we give you individually today. In Jesus' name, amen.